Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is the Action Network Podcast.
Better than most. Better than most. Better than most.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
You got real talent. Don't concentrate on golf.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another golf edition of the Action Network Podcast presented by BetMGM. I'm Amanda Rose, and for Jason Sobel, he has the week off, I guess, just, you know, to play more golf. And I am joined by Justin Ray of the 21st Group. Before we get into this year's 3M Open at TPC Twin Cities, let's take a minute to touch on the Open and the Barbasol. Give me one note from each.
Look, Colin Morikawa, the start to his major championship career is an endless fountain of just, you know, things you can dig into historically. He's the first player in the history of the men's game to win his debut in two different major championships. He's the first guy to win twice in his first eight major starts since Bobby Jones. And the majors weren't even defined the same way when Bobby Jones played. The list keeps going on and on and on. He's come from behind to win each of his two majors. The only other two guys to do that twice in majors before 25 are Bobby Jones and Jack Nicklaus. Like, he's the youngest guy to come from behind to win the Open since Seve Ballesteros. You can keep going. It's just more and more and more. Anytime you get some kind of youthful, amazing performance like Collins, it's kind of an endless resource of things for me to look into and what I do for a living. But, you know, I love that the Barbasol, on the other hand, six hole playoffs. So now we've had playoffs of 8, 6, and 5 holes this season. Crazy, right? But Seamus Power, the definition of a trending player that capitalized on a big run, right? Consecutive, I think it was 5 straight now, top 20 finishes and kind of a steady climb into what he did in breaking through and getting a win. And Seamus Power, I gotta say this. Is there a better name in golf?
No.
Seamus Power, it's like an Irish story.
There is Dickie Pride, the pride of Alabama.
Yeah, Dickie Pride, solid. That's, I mean, look, it's no NASCAR Dick Trickle, but it's close. It's up there, yeah. But, I mean, a great performance by him and another exciting playoff. If you didn't have enough golf from the 150,000 hours of televised golf you got to enjoy with the Open Championship, just it was a great week and a fitting bookend, right, to this crazy 7 men's majors in 11 months we had with Colin winning the first one in that stretch at Harding Park and now getting that second major championship.
Yeah, it is crazy to think about. So let's get into this tournament this week. We have the 3M Open, third year it's been on the schedule. It had replaced the Greenbrier. Let's take a look at the odds board from our friends at BetMGM. You have Dustin Johnson +750, Louis Oosthuizen 14-1, Finau 14-1, Patrick Reed 18-1, Bubba Watson 30-1, first 5 guys. But you know what? You know what's really interesting here? Also at 30-1, Cameron Tringali, Matt Wolff, and Sergio Garcia. Now, is that like not the weirdest 3-4 guys to be tied at 30-1? I mean, like, I get it. It's not a great field this week. I mean, you know, there's a lot of smaller names in the field this week. So, you know, obviously Sergio Garcia is going to be right up there. That's a given. Bubba's going to be up there. That's a given. But Matt Wolff, I know he's a past champ, but given his recent form, and then Cameron Tringali all the way up at 30-1. I mean, come on.
It's an interesting collection when you look at those three names. Like, Tringali is a guy who analytically very consistent this season, has put together some pretty high finishes, of course, has never won on the PGA Tour. You put that next to a guy like Matt Wolff, who has seen the very top early on in his career, winning this tournament a couple years ago, and what was a really underrated. We don't talk about that finish enough, I don't think, where Wolff makes the eagle, Morikawa and Bryson finishing T2, kind of a
Bryson
yeah,
face.
Yeah, the face, the reaction. We remember the meme, right? But there was really intense coming down the stretch. And you think about kind of a little changing of the guard there. And then you got a guy like Sergio Garcia, obviously a veteran who's won all over the world. How engaged is he in this event coming off a major championship? You don't know. Just three really interesting, a nice dichotomy there of names going all in that 30-1 group. You know, the top of the board too. The first two names are the most, two of the most compelling, you know, in the field for me. Dustin Johnson, you know, rightfully so at the top of the board, but you know, how invested is that guy going to be this week? You know, how coming off of a major championship, playoffs around the corner, how fired up is he for the 3M Open? How focused is he going to be? Obviously played great at the Open Championship, had another high finish. Ball striking looked like it had been better than it has been the last couple of months. And then Louis coming off of the heartbreak, right? You know, he's got five top tens around the world this year, and three are in major championships, and they were all top five. So he's really interesting to keep an eye on this week. I really hope he stays in the field and plays, because he's going to be an interesting watch. As you know, he always is at the majors, but he'll be especially captivating, I think, this week coming off the heartbreak.
And this week we're at TPC Twin Cities, par 71, a little over 7,400 yards, bent grass greens. Now, the greens are going to be a lot different this week, a lot less undulation. Justin, tell me a little bit more about this course.
Yeah, a lot of water hazards. That's the one thing you're going to notice visually. Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes, right? So that kind of makes sense. The two winners here, Matt Wolff and Michael Thompson, they each ranked fourth and second, respectively, in strokes gained approach that week. Off the tee, they were a little bit outside the top 20, so you want to say approach play is going to be a little bit more significant. The key yardage range on this golf course, when you look at it, it's going to be approach shots from 175 to 200. In 2019 and 2020, or excuse me, yeah, 19 and 2020, there were more than 2,700 approach shots hitting that range, the second most of any golf course in that span on the PGA Tour. So if you're looking for some value a little bit down the board, then maybe a statistic you keep an eye on is approach proximity from 175 to 200. In 2019, I mentioned Colin Morikawa, our champion golfer of the year, missed the playoff by one shot. He was the best in the field from that range by five full feet. So something to keep an eye on. You mentioned the greens being very different. Obviously, not a lot of similarities between Royal St. George's and TPC Twin Cities. They're going to be a little bit faster, obviously not as much undulation. So it's going to be a different style of putting ability that's going to be rewarded this week. So interesting way to come off of a major championship, right? Yeah. Look very different than what we saw at Royal St. George's.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the guys who played in the Barbasol last week, if they might have a leg up on some of the guys coming over, especially the guys that aren't great putters, like Tony Finau, like, I don't know, whoever else isn't a great putter that's coming over from, you know, Royal St. George's. So I think that'll be interesting to see if the guys who just played the Barbasol, I know, not bent greens, but still there's going to be, you know, they're rolling around 12, whatever, but, you know, over in England, they're running around 10 and there was no wins.
There's got to be an adjustment period, right? Yeah. And you think that some of the guys who are coming over, it's going to be a little bit of a later arrival than normal when you've got to come across the Atlantic. Maybe not as much time to prep. You got to rest and recover. I think that maybe something you look at, especially when you're considering maybe a first round leader or a 36 hole leader bet, something to consider. Definitely. You look at the guys who maybe putted really well at Barbasol or, you know, had a high finish in Kentucky last week over some of the guys who were coming over from the Open. I think it's a great point.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the other guys up here at the top of the board. We touched on the top six or seven there. Cam Davis at 35-1 with Griot, Robbie McIntyre. I mean, the first time I heard of Robbie McIntyre was when I was over at Portrush in 2019 and I saw this kid playing. I was like, damn, he's going to be good. And then, you know, he did it again this year at Royal St. George's. So I think I don't love those odds for him here in the U.S., but I do like him for maybe a prop bet. Like, I like him a lot for a top 20, a top 30. What are you thinking with a guy like Robbie McIntyre?
He's really interesting, and I agree with you. I mean, he's obviously incredibly skilled, ton of great finishes on the European Tour. Love the left-handed style. I thought my favorite stat for Robert McIntyre now, he's played the Open twice. He has two top 10s. He has as many top 10 finishes in the Open Championship as fellow Scott Colin Montgomery had in his whole career. Crazy to think about. As great a career as Montgomery had, he wasn't very great. He wasn't terrific in the Open throughout it. He's already matched him. The Scott, you know, so the Scots have a new favorite son. He's an interesting name. I'm probably kind of with you. I'm going to lean away from him this week because he just haven't seen a lot of him in the United States, but I love that he's coming over here and getting a little bit more exposure. You could tell that he's a guy who probably sees himself on the world stage in a different light as he, than he did maybe 18, 24 months ago. So hopefully we can see more of him in the United States because he's a really interesting player. You mentioned Emiliano Grillo. Now he has the second most birdies or better in this event of anyone over the last 2 years. Finished 12th at the Open Championship, played really well. I think he benefited from kind of the look. He always has great ball striking numbers, right? Mm-hmm. We always talk about how good his iron play is, and maybe the slower greens over at Royal St. George's. I keep wanting to say Port Rush after you did.
I know. I'm sorry.
St. George's, maybe it neutralized it a little bit, made him a little more comfortable on the greens. But he does have a little bit of success here in the past. I mentioned all the birdies he's had. So at 3,500, that's a steep number for a win, but I kind of like Grillo to top 10. He might be a guy who I have on my board. And another guy who we've talked about a lot in recent weeks because he's had a lot of success in Europe, but Lucas Herbert, disappointing finish at the Open. I know you were high on him, especially the Scottish Open when he played really well. But like I said, he won. He's finished fourth in the previous 2 weeks before that Open Championship. I thought this was interesting. Fifth consecutive week that he's playing worldwide. He's gone United States, Ireland, Scotland, England, back to the United States. Dude's got to be running on fumes.
Now, yeah.
He got the weekend off of the Open, not what he wanted, not the rest he wanted, but maybe he used that to recover. So in that kind of upper tier, not quite at the very top, those are some names that I'm interested in.
Yeah, and then so we're going to go down just a little bit farther. A guy I really, really like this week is Hank Lebioda. He's 50-1. He's right there next to Lucas Herbert. Ricky Fowler's there too. Yeah, Maverick McNealy. But at that 50-1 number, he's my favorite guy. I like Hank Lebioda. Three top tens in his last three starts. He's playing so well right now. It's so hard to fade him. I think he's a good value, even with shorter odds than he normally would be. I still think he's a good value this week.
I like that. I'm going to go a little bit off from Hank Lebioda and go with another guy who's he's always our kind of statistical darling. He was, he played really well at the Players' Championship. He's coming off of a top 20 finish at the John Deere Classic. That was his last start. Doug Gim at 50-1. I mentioned that statistic of proximity to the hole from 175 to 200. How many iron shots we're going to see this week? Number one on the PGA Tour in proximity from 175 to 200, Mr. Doug Gim. So 50-1 is a little bit slighter odds than we normally think, but I really like Doug, and I'm going to have him for a top 10 or a top 20 play. My favorite play on the board, though, a guy who came out of nowhere at the Open Championship to play really well. He had missed something like 8 out of 10 cuts, 12 out of 16. I know you know the guy I'm going with. Played terrific. Dylan Fratelli at 61. I think this is interesting. A lot gets made of the newfound distance he's found in his game. He's added, I don't know, 8 to 10, maybe even more yards on his driving distance this season. But his two best performances of the whole year have been at Royal St. George's and Austin Country Club.
Yeah.
Two places that don't reward more distance at all. So
he led or whatever. He was in the top five or whatever in November at the Masters. Because I had a top 20 after the first round bet on him. And that hit, with flying colors. And I was like, great. I need a bigger pair of balls to just bet the, the crazy stuff.
Among the leaders in birdies are better at the 3M Open the last 2 years. I mean, he's got some good numbers here in his previous appearances. I really like that value for him, especially how well he played last week. I figure he's kind of kicked aside the form that had him miss 8 out of 10 cuts. He made a really interesting comment before the Open Championship. You don't normally hear from professional golfers at this level. He said, "I recently got out of a relationship. I think that's going to help me," which I thought was crazy. Cause then what's his ex-girlfriend thinking, seeing him nearly win the Open Championship right after that. So I thought that was just an interesting kind of throwaway line, but adding to the narrative for Dylan. So he's interesting. And then a little bit further down the board, a guy who got the instant promotion from winning on the web.com Korn Ferry Tour. Apologies to Korn Ferry.
It the Nationwide Tour the other day. And then I said web, and then I said Korn Ferry eventually.
I've got a Ben Hogan Tour mug that I've had.
Do you?
I do. Yes. It was my dad's and I still have it. We need some Pereira
stuff to like complete.
Mito Pereira, guy who Jason Sobel was really high on a couple of weeks ago. Tied for 35th at the John Deere, but tied for fifth last week at Barbasol. He was fourth in strokes gained tee to green in Kentucky at the Barbasol Championship. Statistically, did everything really well. He's a guy who's interesting to me too.
All right, so let's move a little bit farther down the board here. Well, not that much farther, but a little bit farther. Adam Hadwin at 80-1. Now he is in the top 10 strokes gained in the last like 3 years at this event. He's been played this event really well. 80-1, Adam Hadwin, all the way down there. Does that kind of surprise you in this kind of field?
Yeah, a little bit. And he hasn't played terrific this year, but if you're someone who adheres more to the horses for courses theory, and we've got good eight rounds here for Adam Hadwin. You know, he, like you said, he's among some of the statistical leaders since they started the tournament here. But I think that's probably a reaction more so based on a little bit of his recent form. That is kind of surprising. Another guy, Adam Hadwin's right there with Mito Pereira, the guy just won. So, yeah, I would expect him to be a little bit higher in a field like this. Another guy who's got immediate name recognition and is even lower on the board, Matt Kuchar is 100-1.
I saw that. Yeah.
It's kind of like the place we've been seeing a guy like Henrik Stenson recently, where you see that name in some of the fields he's in at that number, and it's a little bit jarring. But that might be an interesting name to take a little bit of a flyer on in a season where we've seen a lot of veteran players break through and play well. How about at 100-1 too? Troy Merritt, a guy who almost won.
Yeah. I was just about to say.
I think there's some value in that.
Even though he did miss his cut in his last start, he did miss the cut at the John Deere.
Yeah.
But he has been playing really well.
Yeah, that you're going to – a guy, a veteran player of that caliber, you're going to have a week here or there coming off of a really successful week where he doesn't have it. So, those are another couple guys who are really interesting. The guy I want to talk about is a little bit – when we get to our long shot pick is someone who I think that statistically is really interesting.
See, we're going down the board pretty quick here, but one of the numbers that always surprises me is Rafa Cabrera Bello. He's always in like triple digit odds. I don't totally understand. He's 125-1 to win. Granted, I know he's not going to win this week, but he's a guy that consistently makes cuts. He's consistently finishing top 40, top 30, whatever. I don't love that. I don't love hit like that he's getting disrespected like this, but also I do because, you know, it adds for him having such long odds.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at his numbers right now. Missed four of his last six cuts, but you're right. This tendency to pop up and have big weeks. He might be somebody you consider to fill out maybe the back of your DFS lineup.
Yeah. And who are some other guys you like around this number?
So going down a little bit further, I've talked about the significance of that approach proximity from 175 to 200. A guy finished tied for 15th last week at the Barbasol Championship. Josh Teeter is 200-1. He's third on the PGA Tour from that range. I think there's some value there in him for a top 20 play. So that's somebody who I, you know, kind of leaning towards if you get a little bit further down the board. And then, you know, Austin Eckroat is a really high ceiling guy. I think he's another year away probably from being somebody who consistently contends on the PGA Tour, but he's another one of those guys from Oklahoma State where he's going to pop up on a leaderboard eventually, and you're going to wish that you had some action on him. So he's another guy to keep an eye on going into the week.
This is Action Network podcast producer Matt Mitchell here to tell you our friends at BetMGM have a great new sign-up offer for our listeners, a $600 risk-free first bet. Here's how it works. If you don't already have an account at BetMGM, just sign up, make your first deposit, and place that initial wager. If the bet wins, you get all the money. If it doesn't win, BetMGM will refund you in free bets up to $600. It's that simple. Just click on the link in this episode description to get started. BetMGM has been a great podcast partner, and they've got all the features gamblers like us love, like live betting and daily odds boosts. Plus, they're compatible with BetSync, so when you place a wager at BetMGM, that bet can automatically be tracked in your Action app. So open an account today and make your first bet risk-free up to $600. Just click on the link in this episode description to get started. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Michigan, New Jersey, Colorado, Indiana, West Virginia, Iowa, Virginia, Tennessee, Nevada, or Pennsylvania. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, or 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia. BetSync not available in Nevada. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
All right, Justin, I think it's that time. That time for us to make our DFS lineup.
Let's do it.
Want to be a DFS millionaire? You're just one lineup away.
We're going to go nose to nose with him, and you're going to play better than you ever dreamed of. Because, goddammit, that's what I demand of you.
So let's get drafting.
I'm going to let you start. I know I normally start, but I'm going to let you start.
This is unprecedented.
I know.
I'm going to make the first pick. That's unbelievable. Whoa.
You are.
So I tend to want to – I kind of build from the bottom up when I make my own daily fantasy lineups. I like to go find the value first. So I'm going to go with a guy I mentioned right there at the end. I think he's an incredible value this week at 6,400. Like I mentioned, tied for 15th of the Barbasol, excels in that proximity from 175 to 200 stat I talked about. Josh Teeter at 6,400 is where I'm going to start. I think he's a lock to make the cut. What do you got, Amanda?
You know, it's funny. I like the Teeter pick. I was actually a standard bearer for him when I was like 15, 16. I guess it was the AT&T National. So I love seeing him, you know, getting starts on the big tour. Makes me very happy. He's been around the game for a very, very long time. I'm going to go with a guy who has just been surprising me nonstop this year. And that's Stuart Cink for 8,700. Yeah, it's a little pricey for old Sturt. But, I mean, come on. He's been playing so well. He has two wins on this wraparound season. He played okay last week in Scotland or in England. So I like Stuart Cink.
Yeah, got off to a good start. You know, he was in the mix for there for a little while at the Open Championship. Couple victories. It's interesting to see how he can go. I think that's a high ceiling type pick. I like that. 8,700, a little pricey, but we've got the money to spend so far. I'm going to save us a little more too. I'm really high on this 175 to 200 statistic. I just think you're going to see a lot of approach shots from that range. And Doug Gim does a lot of things well other than that too. So top 20 finish in his last start of the John Deere, just 7,900. I think that's a good number for Doug Gim. Let's add him to the team. We've got 27,000 left for three more players.
I mean, that leaves us some decent money here.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to go with a guy I mentioned earlier, and that was Adam Hadwin. He is 7,200 on DraftKings, where we get all of our DFS pricing from. He only has two top 10s on the season. He's 14 for 25 cuts made, but he has good stats at this course. I think that this is a good week for him, and they're so far north, they're basically in Canada, so you know, I think it just kind of goes well together and stuff.
Sure, yeah, why not, you know, closer to home, sort of, you know, why not a little further north. I like it. So we've got 9,900 per player left, plenty of money to spend. I'll go with the guy who should have won this golf tournament last year. He had a great week at the Open Championship. I was high on him going into the Open because of his past performance on Lynx golf courses. He's got to break through and win eventually, right? It's going to happen at some point. I know we probably said that about Louis Oosthuizen about halfway through the Open Championship too, though. But Tony Finau at 10, that's 10-7. That's going to be my pick. We've got the money to spend here left over. The ceiling there obviously is a victory. He's going to make a ton of birdies, and he played really well at the Open last week. So going to go with Tony Finau. That leaves you with 9,100, my friend.
Wow. That does leave me with a lot of money. Not going to spend it
well.
All. I know better. You know what? I'm going to go with Patton Kizzire, 8,600. He's someone, he's in the same price range as Hank Lebioda. He's someone that I also, like, I made a note of Hank and I made a note of Patton to bet them this week. So I'm going to go with him for DFS. Decent price. We have money left over. He has two top 10s in his last two starts. I like how he's playing, and you know, we've seen him play really well in the past. I think he's getting his form back, and I'm excited to see him continue to play well.
Yeah. 11th of the John Deere. He had a couple of top three finishes earlier in the season.
That's what I meant.
Right before the summer start. Yeah. You said top 10, but you know, 11, one spot off. You're good. No worries. I wouldn't play in teacher here correcting.
No, I genuinely couldn't remember.
It's okay. It's all good. I'm with you. I think that's a good pick. A guy who's, you know, got a handful of top 10s all over the PGA Tour this season. So, and you always want to leave a little bit of money on the table, right? It means you're going to have a little bit of a diversified portfolio going against everybody else. So 500 left in the bank. Josh Teeter, Stuart Cink, Doug Gim, Adam Hadwin, Tony Finau, Patton Kizzire. Book it.
Book it. All right, Justin, I think that is it for the Golf Edition of the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM. I'm Amanda Rose for Justin Ray. Good luck this week. We'll see you on Wednesday for the Gimme.